Welcome to Component 4, Introduction to Information and Computer Science. This is the second lecture of Unit 9, Components and Development of Large-Scale Systems. The systems development process is a set of activities, methods, best practices, deliverables, and automated tools used by stakeholders to develop and continuously improve information systems and software. In this lecture, we will cover systems planning and systems analysis, the first and second phases of a systems development lifecycle, or SDLC. Organizations will adopt and follow a standardized system development process for the following reasons. 1. A consistent methodology produces consistent documentation, reducing lifetime costs to maintain the systems. 2. Using a consistent process for systems development creates efficiencies, allowing management to shift resources between projects. 3. A consistent process promotes quality. The U.S. government has mandated that any organization seeking to develop software for the government must adhere to certain quality management requirements. 4. Many organizations have committed to total quality management goals to increase their competitive advantage. In the SDLC waterfall model shown on this slide, the result of each phase is called a deliverable, or end product, which flows into the next phase. The dashed lines show the usual interaction between adjacent phases. The waterfall model in other variations is illustrated in many references. Phase 1. Systems planning, also known as the explore phase, produces the preliminary investigation report and can include a project initiation form, regulatory assessment form, and tailoring plan template. Phase 2. Systems analysis, or the define phase, creates the system requirements document, which is a formal document that communicates the requirements of a proposed system to key stakeholders and serves as a contract for the system projects. This phase may include, but is not limited to, other deliverables such as the business case, total cost of ownership, TCO, spreadsheet, change impact plan, commitment chart, communications plan, infrastructure design, project charter, project plan, project roles, norms and ground rules, project schedule, project snapshot, risk assessment and management plan, scope statement, service level agreement, and user requirements specifications. Phase 3. Systems design, or the design and build phase, produces the system design specification, which serves as the blueprint for the system builders to develop and test code. As in the previous phase, deliverables may include a configuration management plan, data migration plan and report, detailed design specifications and functional requirement specifications, installation plan, project issue tracking and management, status reports, system architecture diagram, test plan, traceability matrix, and training plan and administration. Phase 4. Systems implementation, which includes the test and deploy phases, produces a completely functioning information system. Some documents from this phase include an installation verification and report, release checklist, test sets, test plan summary report, post-implementation review, and validation summary report. Phase 5. Systems support and security phase is the management, operational, and technical controls designed to protect IT resources from loss, damage, or misuse. The deliverable is an operational system that is properly maintained, supported, and secured. The more technical SDLC method requires much time and foresight, as all system details need to be specified in the beginning. Organizations have successfully used other methods that are briefly listed on this slide. We will not go into detail here, as this is the domain of the IT and IS design and development professionals. The Capability Maturity Model, CMM, is a standardized framework for assessing the maturity level of an organization's information systems development and management processes and products. It is organized into 5 maturity levels. 1. Initial with inconsistent methods. 2. Repeatable with consistent project management. 3. Defined where consistent processes are used. 4. Managed with processes managed and measured. And 5. Optimized with continuous process improvement. Rational Unified Process, RUP, was developed by IBM and focuses on who, what, and how. Dynamic Systems Development Model, DSDM, is an iterative and incremental methodology emphasizing user-customer involvement. The spiral approach includes system requirements definition, a preliminary design, an initial prototype followed by the evaluation of the prototype, defining the requirements of the next prototype, the planning and design of the next prototype, the construction and testing of the next prototype, repeating the process as necessary until reaching the final product. Extreme Programming, XP, considers short development cycles and includes programming in pairs. Scrum is a process containing roles and practices. The Scrum Master maintains the processes. The product owner represents stakeholders, and the team does the analysis, design, implementation, and testing. Rapid Application Development, RAD, uses less planning and rapid prototyping. Systems planning involves analysis and management. To analyze is to examine methodically and in detail the constitution, makeup, or structure of something, typically for purposes of explanation and interpretation. A business case captures the reasoning for initiating a project or task. Analyzing the business case is the close examination of issues confronted company might encounter. Managing is the planning, organizing, staffing, leading or directing, and controlling of an effort for the purpose of accomplishing a goal. Systems projects are temporary endeavors undertaken to create one or more business products according to a specified business case. Project management consists of planning, organizing, securing, and managing resources resulting in the successful completion of project goals and objectives. There are many different ways to analyze a business case, but here are 8 steps that can be considered. 1. Analyze the company's history, development, and growth. 2. Identify the organization's internal strengths and weaknesses. 3. Analyze the external environment. 4. Evaluate the SWOT analysis, where SWOT represents strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. 5. Analyze corporate-level strategy. 6. Analyze business-level strategy. 7. Analyze structure and control systems. And finally, 8. Make recommendations. The project plan is the overall framework for managing costs and schedules. Project planning is the identification of project tasks and the estimate of completion times and costs. Project scheduling is the creation of a specific timetable that shows tasks, task dependencies, and critical tasks that might delay the project. Project monitoring and controlling requires guiding, supervising, and coordinating the project team's workload. This means monitoring the progress, evaluating the results, and taking corrective action when necessary to control the project and stay on target. Project reporting tasks involve regular progress reports to management, users, and the project team itself. The main objective of the systems analysis phase is to build a logical model of the new information system. The deliverable or end product is a system requirements document that represents the overall design for the new system. Each activity or task within the systems analysis phase has an end product and one or more milestones. Requirements modeling involves fact-finding to describe the current system and identify the requirements for the new system. These requirements include inputs and outputs, processes, performance, and security. Inputs are the data entering the system and can be manual or automated. Outputs refer to the electronic or printed information produced by the system. Processes are the logical rules applied to transform the data into meaningful information. Performance considers system characteristics such as speed, volume, capacity, availability, and reliability. Security includes hardware, software, and procedural controls to safeguard and protect the system and its data from internal or external threats. Data and process modeling represents system data and processes graphically using traditional structured analysis techniques. Structured analysis treats processes and data as separate components. Object modeling is a popular modeling technique used in place of or along with the structured analysis techniques. Object-oriented analysis, OO, combines data and the processes that act on data into things called objects. Objects represent the people, things, transactions, and events that affect the system. We want to consider logical versus physical models at this point. Logical modeling deals with gathering business requirements and converting those requirements into a model. Examples include the entity relationship diagrams or models and business process diagrams. Physical modeling involves the actual design according to the requirements that were established during logical modeling. It is hardware and software specific and includes the server model diagrams, which show tables, columns, and relationships within a database. Development strategies include evaluation of alternative solutions, finishing the system requirements document, and presentation of the system requirements document to management. Requirements management is the process of establishing the base capabilities of a project and relies on requirements modeling used in the systems planning phase of the SDLC. Building accurate models can guarantee the correctness of the project requirements. This involves fact-finding to describe the current system and identify the requirements for the new system. Various fact-finding techniques such as interviews, surveys, observation, and sampling are used. Requirements are to be documented, actionable, measurable, testable, related to identified business needs or opportunities, and defined to a level of detail sufficient for system design. The system requirements checklist is used in the preparation of systems to meet the requirements for a successful deployment. One way to help or guarantee future growth capabilities of the system is to build a scalable system. Scalability is a desirable property of a system, a network, or a process, which indicates its ability to either handle growing amounts of work in a graceful manner or to be enlarged. A scalable system offers a better return on the initial investment. Information about the projected future volume for all outputs, inputs, and processes for evaluation will be needed to determine scalability. A useful acronym to remember the types of requirements is FERPS, which stands for Functionality, Usability, Reliability, Performance, and Supportability. JAD, or Joint Application Development, focuses on team-based fact-finding, which is only one phase of the development process. It is a popular, user-oriented technique for fact-finding and requirements modeling. It is not linked to a specific development methodology, so systems developers use JAD whenever group input and interaction are desired. JAD allows system developers and users to work together to develop requirements and specifications. It can replace user interviews done by systems analysts. Key participants include the executive sponsor or system owner, a facilitator or session leaders to keep the group on track, a scribe to record and publish the proceedings of the meeting but not contribute information, and other stakeholders and observers. RAD, or Rapid Application Development, is a more compressed version of the full systems development process. RAD refers to a kind of software development methodology using rapid prototyping in place of minimal planning. Users are involved at every step by participating in prototyping, writing test cases, and performing unit testing. RAD allows for a fast-track approach to a full spectrum of system development tasks, including planning, design, construction, and implementation. Recent trends lean toward agile development methods, which stress intense interaction between system developers and users. There are many specific agile development methods. Most promote development, teamwork, collaboration, and process adaptability throughout the lifecycle of the project. Agile methods break tasks into small increments with minimal planning and do not directly involve long-term planning. A process is a procedure, and a tool is an implement to perform work with. The data flow diagram, DFD, is a graphical tool to represent the flow of data through an information system, to be detailed in the following slide. The data dictionary is a collection of descriptions of the data items in a data model for the benefit of programmers and others. Process description tools help to describe the process logic. A data flow diagram, or DFD, shows how data moves through an information system without showing the program logic or processing steps. A set of DFDs provides a logical model showing what the system does, not how it does it. If the focus was on implementation issues at this point, the search for the most effective system design would be restricted. There are four basic symbols in a data flow diagram. Each symbol represents one of the following: processes, data flows, data stores, or external entities. A process receives input data and produces output that has a different content, form, or both. This is the business logic or set of business rules that transform the data and produce the required results. The process symbol is a rectangle with rounded corners and is named with a verb and noun, as in fill order or assign code. It is sometimes referred to as a black box because the underlying details and logic of the process are hidden. The DFD process can show additional levels of detail by creating a more in-depth DFD, revealing the process's internal workings. Continuing on, the information system can be modeled as a series of increasingly detailed pictures. A data flow is a path for data to move from one part of the information system to another and represents one or more data items. For example, a data flow could be made of a single data item, such as a patient identifier, or it could include a set of data, such as all the information in a prescription. The data flow symbol is a line with an arrowhead and is named with a noun and an adjective if needed, as in payment or patient or grading parameters. Because a process changes the content or form of the data, at least one data flow must enter and one data flow must exit each process symbol. In the DFD, a data store represents data the system stores because one or more processes need to use the data at a later time. The data store is often shown on the DFD as a flat rectangle open on the right side and closed on the left side. The name of the data store consists of a noun and adjective if needed, and it appears between the lines to identify the data it contains, such as drugs or daily payments. The data store is connected to a process with a data flow. The external entity is a rectangle that can be shaded to look three-dimensional. The DFD shows only external entities that provide data to the system or receive output from the system. DFD entities are also called terminators because they are data origins or final destinations. Systems analysts often use the term source to identify entities that supply data to the system and sink to identify entities that receive data from the system. An external entity may be both a sink and a source, but must be connected to a process by a data flow. The data flow diagram does not show the detailed contents of a data flow because that information is included in the data dictionary. The data dictionary or data repository is a central storehouse of information about the system's data. It defines and describes all data elements and meaningful combinations of data elements. An analyst uses the data dictionary to collect, document, and organize specific facts about the system, including the contents of data flows, data stores, entities, and processes. A data element or data item or field is the smallest piece of data that has meaning within the information system. Every data element must be documented in the data dictionary with precise, rigorous definitions so that both users and systems analysts will have a common understanding of all inputs, outputs, components of stores, and intermediate calculations. Examples include patient name, appointment time. These data elements are combined into records or data structures. A record is a meaningful combination of related data elements that is included in a data flow or kept in a data store. An example is the patient record, which includes but is not limited to the patient name, social security number, telephone number, and insurance name. The data dictionary defines the data elements by doing the following: describing the meaning of the flows and stores shown in the data flow diagrams. Describing the composition of aggregate packets of data moving along the flows, that is, complex packets, such as a customer address, that can be broken into more elementary items, such as city, state, and postal code. Describing the composition of packets of data in stores. Specifying the relevant values and units of elementary chunks of information in the data flows and data stores. Describing the details of relationships between stores that are highlighted in an entity relationship diagram. Data stores and data flows are based on data structures, which in turn are made up of data elements. Data flows are connected to data stores, entities, and processes. Correct documentation of these relationships is necessary to keep the data dictionary consistent with the data flow diagrams. Modular design is based on combinations of three logical or control structures which serve as building blocks for processing: sequence, selection, and iteration. The next slide provides more detail about these structures. Structured English uses a limited subset of the English language to represent logical processes. By using the control structures listed above, along with indentation, structured English represents the process in a simple, consistent way. It is very similar to pseudocode used in algorithm and program design. Decision tables list the different conditions in the system and the different actions based on the value of the condition. Every condition may be true or false, and the table includes entries for each value for each condition. Decision tables are a great way to describe a complex set of conditions. They are easy to construct and understand, and programmers often work from a decision table when developing code. Decision trees graphically represent the conditions and actions in a decision table. The tree is horizontal, with the root at the left and the branches are on the right. A blank decision tree is shown on this slide. Because decision trees can get large quickly, they are often used for small, simple processes. A decision table would be necessary for large, complex processes. Nevertheless, using a decision table or tree is often a matter of personal preference. Each logical structure has a single entry and exit point. The step or process is shown with a rectangle, a decision is shown with a diamond shape, and the logic follows the lines in the direction indicated by arrows. Data flows through these controls during program processing. One or more of the steps might represent a sub-process containing additional logical structures. The three control structures are combined in various ways to describe processing logic. Sequence: perform each step or process in order, one after another. Selection: perform the step or steps based upon the answer to a question. Iteration: perform each step or process over and over until some condition is met.